Hello. Hey guys, I needed my intro, sorry. Helps me relax. Helps me relax, especially now I know why Fita told me, hey, can you pray on Sunday? Yeah, the light's gonna go out. Yeah. Thank you, Fito. Hey, for me it's an honor to be here. I hope that everyone can hear me. It's my high voice. Just a quick disclosure for those who don't know me yet. When I get too sentimental, I tend to sweat from my eyeballs, all right? So don't worry about it. It's okay. I'm fine. Just a common thing that I suffer. And I can barely see you guys, so there we go. All right, well, glad that you are here. And I have a question for you. Have you guys ever been asked to do something that you know that you cannot do? For example, if I ask you right now, hey Jay, where the circuit breaker went down, could you fix it? Could you? Can anyone, do we have an electrician here? No? One? Oh, someone? You're electric, but not an electrician, right? Okay. All right. So we're talking about the series about the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit is, he works in us and through us. So right now, we're going to close on today's talk on the series, talking about when the Spirit works through us. So Jesus actually calls us to carry on and finish his work. Do you feel capable of doing that? Some of you might be thinking, I can do that. And you're right. We cannot. So why did he ask? Well, the thing is, we can't do it on our own, but we're not on our own. And that's what this whole series has been about. We have a partner, the Holy Spirit, who gives us gifts. For what? So we can accomplish God's work. That's it. That's the main reason. And today, we're going to take a little closer look on what that means. So Just so we're all clear, it takes God's power to do God's work. Are you with me? Okay. So I need you guys to know, we need to know that he has called each one of us to make a change here on earth right now. And the way he's plan all this is that we're not going to do it on our own because we're not capable. Well, at least I'm not. I don't know about you. But he tells us, hey, guys, don't worry. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. He's going to equip us for what? To do God's work. And actually, Paul instructs us to actively be looking for the Holy Spirit. He writes actually the way that this is written, I hope you guys can see your outlines. If not, don't worry. You're not alone. Yeah. Put it to a light here. Or take your cell phone out and illuminate your outline. So the language that Paul is using here is Koine Greek. And the verb actually is the birth tense of those phrases is actually a continuous, let there be light. It's a continuous sense, which means you could kind of translate it this way. So this is the first verse in your outline, and it's Galatians 5:25. And it reads this way. Since we are living by the Spirit, listen closely, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Since we're living, let us follow him leading. Right? Oh, okay. Like this better without the lights. So we are to always be walking in the Spirit. Paul tells us, hey guys, you need to always be walking in the Spirit. Why? Because Paul knows that if we try on our own, we're not going to be able. And he tells us, you can actually think about it as being constantly surrendered. Constantly surrender. So if you're like me, I'm a little bit of a logical person. I always ask questions. I'm kind of like Pinocchio, not because of the nose, but of the questions. So how do I follow the Spirit's leading? Fortunately, Paul gives us a tool in the New Testament. The next verse, 1 Corinthians 12:1, it's in the Message translation, and it reads this way. What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. So Paul acknowledges this. Hey, these gifts are complex, but I want you to get it. I need you guys to get it. Because if we don't get it, we're going to be walking on our strength. We have the Holy Spirit, but we're still walking on our strength, trying to do our thing and not actually being led by Him. Don't worry about it. So my next question would be, what is a spiritual gift? If you're like me, I would ask, what is a spiritual gift? And it is this. It is an ability that the Holy Spirit gives you to do what? What do you think? To do God's work. Thank you. To do God's work. That's the main reason. That's the only reason we're receiving these gifts. Each of us are a unique blend of natural talents, temperament. And for those of us who have already said yes to Jesus, we have a third part, and it's the gifts of the Spirit. If you're here for a first time, and you're just kicking the tires of the church, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. This is a church where you can feel free. You can feel welcome with your doubts, with your questions. But for those of us who have already made a commitment, who have already said yes to Jesus, the Bible says that we're three parts. So the first part, natural talents. Each one of you, I know that if we did a survey here, we'll find musical talents. Tony and the guys, kind of. We'll find some of you guys are mechanical. You like to turn things apart, putting parts apart, and sometimes putting it back together. And not missing parts, sometimes. Don't worry, the screws were extra. Yeah, don't worry. Some of us are naturally artistic, and some of us are naturally naturally athletic, sorry. Like me. Hey. Why are you laughing? It wasn't a joke. And can you hear me that way, or do you want me to? Do you love my lovely voice? In high def. Okay. So, even more awkward. So we're three parts, natural talents, and we have temperaments. That means that each of us have a unique personality. If you're not married, you'll find out soon enough, all right? Each of us have a unique personality that God, curiously, God uses it. Can you imagine if I was an introvert up here and be like, hey guys, welcome, glad you're here. No, He uses each gift. And the Bible says when we receive Christ, we receive the spiritual gifts to help you do God's work. And we find nine of these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. But there's a lot more gifts in the New Testament. We have to keep reading. So, how do we awaken our spiritual gifts? Again, in your outline, 1 Corinthians 12:4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Who distributes them? The same Spirit. The same Spirit. There are a lot of gifts in the New Testament, like I was saying. There's leadership, mercy, hospitality. That's actually a gift. I didn't know I had it. Hey, I'm a good host. Thank you. I'm a good host. No, a good host. teaching, the gift of faith, gift of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. I used to think I had tongues, but then my wife said, no, you're just saying, but you don't know what you're saying. So that's a, she got the gift of interpreting false tongues. So God wants us to know, God wants you to know that there are different kinds of gifts to accomplish what? Different types of tasks. That's why we have different kinds of gifts. There is a diversity of gifts, but they all come from who? Again? The Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit. We're not all alike. Would you agree? That we're the same way we're not alike physically, we're not alike in our temperament and our abilities and everything. We're unique. We all have a purpose. So number one in your notes, how do we get the gifts? How do we search for them? So number one, I'm becoming aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Becoming aware. And I love the a quote from Richard Rohr. Follow along with me. I know it's not on your screen, but if you want to write it down, it's a good one. It says, we cannot attain the presence of God because we're already in the presence of God. What's absent is awareness. To me, that was like, why? Because sometimes we tend to over-spiritualize things. We tend to, it's a good service, the music was good, Tony sounded kind of nice. And we said, oh, hallelujah, praise God. The Spirit moved. But the difference is what? We were aware. Would you agree with me? Even if you don't, I don't care. The Spirit is here right now. He's here. If you don't feel it, hey, buddy, that's not his problem. Maybe it's ours. That we're not aware. The absence isn't in God's presence. He didn't forget to show up. What is lacking is the realization of his presence. That awareness that God is moving, redeeming, restoring right now, right here. Today at 11:40, he's here. Are you guys aware? Oh, now you are. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, JP. Number two, I'm accepting my assignment on the mission of God. I'm accepting my assignment on the mission of God. I love to preach on this, and I love to tell people, you have a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose. Don't listen to your inner voices that are telling you that you're not worth anything. God couldn't use you. You've done this and this and that. That's BS. Okay? Bible study. You need Bible study to learn that that's not from God, all right? And we see that each person is gifted. No exceptions. No exceptions. Each one receives a gift. Every Christian is gifted by God to do what? His work. It's easy. It's easy, guys. We're equipped to do his work. That's it. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the next thing. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the what? For the common good. It's not so I can boast. It's not like, if I had the gift of healing and I would heal Israel, like, hey, be healed, and he's healed, and I'm like, hey, worship me. I'm the healer. It's not for that. It's not for that. It's for what? It's for the common good. To do God's work. The question isn't if you're gifted. You are. The same way that the Spirit is here right now, That's your awareness. And we need to play our part. You have a contribution to make. God is calling you to play on his team. And side note, or parenthesis, there's no bench here. There's no sidelines. There's no spectators on this game. It's only two sides. So we need to be on the right side. And it's, but again, the sad truth of most churches is that we're like football stadiums. Now there's 22 guys on the field who desperately need rest, and there's 70,000 spectators who desperately need exercise, right? And not you, that's why I said 70, not 71,000. So notice that everyone is gifted. Please take that with you. Make it yours, that you are gifted. But for what? For the common good. To do what? The work of God. So God gives us to benefit others, not ourselves. The whole focus is getting God's work done. Number three, I am playing my part. Once we're aware and once we acknowledge, we have to play our part. You need to know that you are important. You need to know that your gifts are needed. You were created for a purpose. You have a special task. We are a team. We are a body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27. What does it say? Now you are the what? The body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. Each one of us is a part of it. We cannot all be the right arm. We cannot all be the thumbs up guy. But we do. We have a part. We have a role to play. For example, it all. I was like thinking, how could I explain it? I don't know if you know, but I'm an architect. I have the paper to show it, so I can testify that. And I can design a house, and I know how to build it. I know the steps. So I know the sequence, but I cannot build it myself. I need what? I need a team of what? Framers, electricians, plumbers, drywall guys, good ones. A lot of guys play a role in making just one house. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. We all have a part to play. And the electrician cannot do the painter's job. We have a saying here in Mexico, zapatero tu zapato. Each one do what you were built to do or what you were purposely made to do. Thank you. So once we got that, then you're going to ask, how do I cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Don't worry. We got you. Letter A, we need to desire his gifts. We need to desire his gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:3, it reads, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And you know me, I'm logical, right? I always ask. Two words stand out there on the verse. Eagerly and desire. Eagerly, to be eager. Who of you guys are fans or were fans of Mad TV in the 90s? I'm the only one? Oh, okay, all right. Do you guys remember the brown guy, the kind of UPS guy? It was like, should we go? Should we go? It was a service package guy who was like eager, like he was like on drugs, sorry. But he was like hyper, what? Hey, you remember, right? He was thinner though, hey. The drugs. No, sorry. All right. Hey, it is what it is. All right. What does that mean? What does that mean? I actually went to the dictionary and looked up the word desire. And check this out. Desire means to wish for, to want, or to long for. A longing or craving. When I read craving, I understood. I was like, craving. When I want, when I desire a blizzard from Dairy Queen, hey, you can tell. Nothing's gonna stop me. Not even my wife. It's a desire. And if I don't have any money, I'll probably ask for, hey, can I? ¿Te canto una canción? That's what God wants from us. That longing, that desire, that I can't wait. God, I need you. Holy Spirit, come on. I'm ready. I want it. I want your gifts. I want to do your work. I want to bless others. I want to help out. I want to volunteer in church. I want to do what I'm created to do. I don't want to miss out. I'm ready. So what should we do? Desire to fulfill God's purpose and accomplish His work. Desire to help others grow. Desire to be effective. There's one thing to be a go-getter, but if you don't have a specific goal, see, you talk Spanish. Hey, voy a empezar a predicar en español. Hey, bueno, tú como decía, we have to be focused. We have to be focused. We need to desire any gift that could make that happen, that could accomplish what we're called to do. How do we know what we're called to do? You need to get down on your two knees and pray. No other way. There's no other way. Mark Twain has a quote that reads, "The two most important days of your life are number one, the day that you are born, and number two, the day you found out why." That's like, I know why. Do you know why? We need to know. So how do I cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Letter B. I develop and use His gifts. Develop and use. Can you imagine if I get, I have a son, 5-year-old son. Can you imagine if I gave him my car? Hey, come on, pump a little. I have a car, Ferrari. I wish. That's what I'm going to give him, by faith. He's going to tell me, I can use it. He's never going to give us something we cannot use. Never. He's going to give us exactly what we need, when we need it, and why we need it. Imagine what would happen, guys, if everyone here, every single one of you, did this. What if we had no spectators at our church? Everyone volunteering, everyone helping out. We would have what? Maybe 2 bands, 3 bands playing here instead of Tony every single day. I love Tony, by the way. That's why I can talk smack about Tony, because he knows my heart. And what would happen if everybody said, hey, I know my gift and I'm using it? Can you imagine the power and the kind of impact that would have, not only here in Playas, but in Tijuana and the rest of Mexico and maybe the world? God doesn't want you to stop discovering or to stop while you discover, oh, I know what I'm a teacher. Oh, I'm a teacher. But you never teach. He wants us to develop and use them. I'm going to give you 2 verses that are not on your outline. If you can write it down, it's 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6. And the first one says the following. It says, don't neglect the spiritual gift you have received. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. Don't neglect the gift that you've seen, that you have received. And the second one, 2 Timothy, fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. Imagine that the gifts are like muscles. How do you strengthen your muscles? By working out. Hey, I know how, I just don't do it, all right? So don't judge me. But we can grow our gifts. We can develop our gifts. We are constantly developing them. God doesn't give us an end product. God gives us the raw materials, and we develop them. How do we develop them? By using them. By using them. God wants you to use your gifts. 1 Peter, your last verse on your outline. 1 Peter 4:10, 11, it reads, each of you use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in the various forms. If anyone speaks, like me here today, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves to our volunteers, they should do so with the strength God provides. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes you don't feel about like serving. Sometimes you're tired. You're like, oh, God. Not today. But those who are doing their part, those who are desiring, that we get new strength. The Bible says that God equips us. And that's how they come here every single Sunday and receive you, I hope so, with a happy face. If not, let me know and I'll talk to them. The Holy Spirit. Should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things, in what things? In all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. God should be praised in all things, even while you're giving out outlines at the door. You're praising God. Why? Because you're grateful. You're grateful for another day. You're grateful that He's using you. You're grateful, and that's it. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So that's when people come up to me and tell me, hey, it was a good service, or hey, you didn't stutter too much, or hey, you didn't suck today. Hey, glory be to God. It's not about me. I couldn't do this on my own. Believe me, I couldn't. But I'm being obedient, and that's it, and developing, and I hope I'm getting better, guys. I hope. If not, then you can talk to Fito. You won't see me in 2 months. You will not discover your spiritual gift by sitting on your butt watching Netflix. There's no series on spiritual gifts. All right? I've looked for it. They're not. No matter how hard you try, you have to connect with God. That's the only way. There's no single person. Oh, I love this. There's no single person. No single person with every single gift. You know why? Can you imagine that guy? Yeah, you already did. Like your. That's why. We're called to be a body. We're called to be together to do God's work. So together we can fulfill His mission. There's no Long Ranger Christian here. All right? So right now, what I want to do is to close in prayer and give you guys an opportunity. And actually, I had a little demonstration, but I don't think, do you guys want to see it? All right. I was asking myself, okay, why can't I be who the Bible says I am? Why can't I be more cheerful? Why can't I be more servicial, be more helpful? Why can't I kick this habit? Why can't I stop doing this that I know that doesn't no agrada a Dios. It doesn't glory, doesn't please, it doesn't glorify God. Why can't I? Am I not a new Christian? Am I not a new person? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But what happens? The Bible says that when we confess with our mouth that we are sinners and that we accept what Jesus made for us, did for us, sorry, at the cross, that we are made new. And that in that exact moment, the Holy Spirit, please don't trip on the colors. All right? It says that when we confess with our mouth and we declare that we recognize that we're sinners and we declare that we receive God's grace and what Jesus did on the cross for us, that the Holy Spirit comes down and he's poured into us. Right? Can you see him in the bottom? All right. So, this is not a trick question, guys. This is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit inside here? Can you see him? Why hasn't it changed? Why is it still the same milk? Because you haven't been aware. Because you need to, what Paul says, be constantly what? Walking with the Spirit. Longing for the Spirit. This is the first baptism. Second baptism is into the discipleship. And this, we're already part of the body. You're saved. No questions asked. All right? Don't be scared like, oh, I'm not saved. No, you are. Then there's the baptism of the body, which we do at the beach, or if you haven't been baptized, it's an outer confession about an inner transformation. All right? And the third baptism is in the Holy Spirit. Imagine 12 guys, 12 disciples walking with God, with Jesus in the flesh for 3 years. One of them actually walked on water. But Jesus still said, you're not ready. I have to go. And I'm going to tell you when. It's not when you want it. There's not a special prayer. There's not a hocus pocus. This is not magic. But when I know that you're ready, the Holy Spirit is going to be stirred up in you. And this is what happens with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we're constantly walking with the Spirit, desiring the Spirit, we become filled with the Holy Spirit. This isn't magic either. Just an example. But what would happen if I live this here for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days? What would happen? It'll settle down. And we're battling with fear. We're battling with doubt. We're battling with anger. Why? Because the Spirit is not being stirred in us. This gives us confidence, faith. We're walking by faith. So right now, I'm going to give you two opportunities. Number one is if you haven't received Jesus yet, if you're not part of the body, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Don't be afraid of the part that you're going to play. It's important. Believe me. That's our first decision we have to make. And the second one is I want this. I want to be baptized in the Spirit. I want to walk with the Spirit. I want to be longing for the Spirit. We're going to pray for that too. So, if you would, please close your eyes. It's to give a little sense of privacy to those of who are making the decision. And if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, it's not a coincidence that I'm here. It's not a coincidence that the lights went out and you're here for a purpose. God has planned this since before you were born. That's what's so amazing about this. And if right now, if today you're saying, you know what, I don't have all the answers, I'm still struggling with some stuff, but I want to be part of the body, this is your chance. Right here, right now. So I'm going to be a good host, and we're all going to pray with you. But we need to pray out loud. The prayer is not a hocus pocus. The prayer doesn't save you. Your decision saves you. Your heart saves you. Jesus is the one that saves you. But you need to receive his gift. So everyone, pray with me in your outside voices. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. But I also know that you love me. That you send your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. He already paid the price. And today, I receive that gift. Thank you for being an awesome God. Thank you for being a loving Father. Help me play my part in your body. Amen. Now, would you stand with me? We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. And not to make you feel uncomfortable, but I'm going to ask you to put your hands here, like if you're ready to receive, like if you're going to catch your son jumping from the, all right, you're gonna be like this, okay? It's a posture of saying, I'm ready, I'm here. So with your heads bowed down and your eyes closed, we're going to pray in out loud. Holy Spirit, thank you for finding me able. Thank you for choosing me before I was born. I ask of you that you come into my life, that you fill my heart, and that you plant in my heart a longing for you, a desire to walk with you every day, every afternoon, every night. Thank you for equipping me and help me develop and strengthen my gifts while I use them. In your name we pray. Amen.